like to introduce Scott Roth to you this morning. He's the executive director of Project Haven, and is also an associate pastor at Perkiomen Mennonite Church. As far as Project Haven goes, he'll share in a moment a little bit about that before the message, but I just think myself living in East Greenville, it's a blessing to have an organization like that in the middle of our of a Perkiomen Valley, East Greenville, and Pennsburg and Red Hill. We've lived in East Greenville for a long time now, and there is a lot of darkness around, and there's not too many things for the kids to do except get in trouble and take drugs, and it's a real mess at times. So to see the community have an organization like this is really a great thing. In my opinion, it's a wonderful blessing that God has given us. And also I'd like to mention, too, the Upping Group. Many congregations praying for the community, which has been another blessing to see that churches gathering together and not just praying for their own, you know, their own hurts and their own church communities, but for the entire community as a whole. So to me, it's really a great thing to see these organizations. Also, Scott, can you come up and say a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Scott's willingness and be able to come and share the message with us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that what he shares is your words and not his, Lord. And I pray that your message that you share through Scott to us, Lord, I just pray that as a congregation we listen and hear and receive this message of yours, Lord, coming through Scott. And that your will be done in our lives and to act upon what we hear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I get this phone call yesterday, and I got to tell you this, it's a really wild story. When I didn't think it was that wild yesterday, and then this morning it really got crazy. I'm chilling at Jungle Wonder. Does anyone ever been to Jungle Wonder? Okay, all right, right. Yeah, you guys have, absolutely. All right, check this out. My son's buddy in kindergarten has a birthday party at Jungle Wonder. It's his place where little kids run around and scream and holler, and then you as a parent go and sit and hope that your kid doesn't get hurt. And then you have this awkward moment because you don't know any of the other parents, so then you're stuck with all these people that you don't know, and you're hoping that you can get along with them. Like, I totally tried to get out of it. I said to my wife, do I have to stay? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, why? Because she usually does the birthday party thing, right? But she had this Pinterest activity that she was doing, which is making crafts. But anyway, so I'm stuck at this party. And it was pretty cool because my one neighbor was there, and he likes fishing. I like fishing. So we talked fishing for 2 hours, so it was kosher. My son came over every once in a while. We got to play some video games. It was all cool. Then my phone rings, and it's John East. You have to understand, John and I talk every now and then. I usually talk to Chris to find out what's going on here at Finland because I can just find him at McDonald's every Tuesday. So, which, by the way, he says he wants to be in the community. That dude is totally into Big Macs. I'm just letting you know. All right. So I'm there, and he asked me to preach. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, I never say no because I know if I'm available, that's God's calling. And I roll in this morning. And could you please raise your hands, folks? There's Brent's grandparents that I met yesterday at the birthday party. I didn't know them, right? So, you know, there's God upstairs going, check this out. I'm going to make this real funky now, you know? So when we look at miracles, you have to start acknowledging where God exists, where we wouldn't. So PowerPoint, please. I use slides to keep me on track because I could just talk for hours on end. I'm going to tell you briefly about Project Haven, if you don't know, because it is a supported ministry by Finland. And I want to personally say thank you for the organization as well as myself. It's amazing, and I could spend hours telling you the miracles that I see God do every day. It amazes me that God allows, or I should say it this way, it amazes me that God moves in ways in spite of ourselves. I am not a perfect man by any means, but I do try to really hunt after God. And what amazes me is that I can walk onto a high school campus now, not have an appointment with anybody, and I can just go meet the people that I need to meet. It amazes me that God's people continue to pray in this valley and to see things unfold to the point where the guidance staff is now referring families to me. Don't tell them, but they call it social work. We call it pastoring. And it's amazing to be able to work with families directly, to have a building that was given and a blessing to be a community center here in our town. Just this afternoon, the Leo's Club from the community, the Lions Club, it's the little Lions in the high school, they're throwing a basket raffle in the community center. There's so many things that go on as we see God to continue to move. So first of all, I want to say thank you. And the second thing is keep praying. There's ways for you to be involved. If you want to get involved in your community directly in a very different way, talk to me. Whether it's service projects, we're renovating the trailer in the back to turn into a children's museum in conjunction with the library. We have all kinds of ways for you to get involved. If you want to hang out with students after school, if you want to do some programming this summer. Also, the YMCA, they're starting to expand in some areas, too, that I've been working with. So there's always ways to get involved. And maybe nothing with the children youth side of things. Maybe there's other ways you want to get involved. Come see me. Because the other thing that God did this past year is he put me in charge of the whole Community Service Coalition. And that is 28 nonprofits that I get to work with directly in the valley that love on the valley to get things done. So we started community meals. We're launching community gardens. We got together this community resource coordinator position that I do at the high school. So I say all this to you because that's Project Haven. That's the quick little five-minute thing. And I'll also tell you how Finland was part of a miracle in that a little later. But in the end, I just want to say thank you because I know many of you pray daily for the ministry that's going on here in the community, for the students and the families that are here. So when we look at miracles, we have to ask the question, why do we need them? Because see, when you look at miracles, by the way, John totally like ducked a big, like huge matzo ball craziness here with miracles because miracles are a very touchy subject, all right? Because you have some people out there that'll say miracles, well, if you don't have enough faith, God's not going to do anything. Then you have the other camp over here that says God will do it irregardless of our prayer. And then you got a guy like me that says God can do anything he doggone wants, so I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep hoping that my faith is great and I'm just going to keep moving, okay? So I kind of sit in the middle. So I just want you all to know that's where I'm coming from. Now, did I just do that or did you? I don't know. I pressed the button, it moved, but I saw your head was down, so I don't know if you were sleeping or if you were actually making it move. Okay, I think I moved it. All right, so what is a miracle? Webster's definition says an effect or an extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. Such an effect or event manifesting or considered a work of God. Okay, so I want to start right off the bat and say this. I am defining a miracle like Webster's, okay? That is something that happens that we can't explain. And because of Scripture, I'm able to look at Scripture and I can see things that happen in the Bible are happening today. Therefore, I can take that second part of the definition and ascribe that to God. Does that make sense? All right, so that's my definition on miracles. I don't want anybody else's definitions to come in. If you think it's something else, I'm sorry, you're wrong. I'm right. So now we have to look at this in Acts. And I'm going to read the scripture again to you here because we have to realize that this isn't something new, okay? Miracles have been happening all through the Old Testament. And John has this beautiful outline in your bulletin. Feel free to use it because it's not mine. But if you do it, tell him so that it sounds good that you did some homework and you might get some points with the pastor. But anyway, so one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. which is also might be the ninth hour in some scriptures. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? We need to remember that this is normal operating procedure for a disciple of Christ at the time, okay? They're used to seeing Jesus do stuff. Jesus has now left the building. He's up in heaven. The Holy Spirit is rolling on the earth, and the disciples are tapping into the power of God. Now, when we look at Luke 10, okay, Luke 10 is a very important scripture because we see when Christ sent out the 72, he told them how they're going to operate. They're going to go, and they're going to bless. Okay, he said, find a man of peace, find a house of peace, and speak blessing on it. Then you're going to spend time eating in the home and eating with the town, and that's through fellowship. Through the fellowship, you're going to be able to know the problems, and you're going to be able to heal them, and you're going to heal the sick, and through the healing, you're going to proclaim the name of Christ. And if we noticed right here, okay, first of all, this man is not a stranger to Peter and John. What I mean by that is he's been put at the temple gate every day. So this isn't somebody new to them. This guy's been around. He's there all the time. So they've been interacting in their community. They've been existing here at this temple, and they're going in like they normally do. And today's the day. Today is the day that he gets healed. Now, we don't know any other relationships hereafter. We don't know the exact ailment. We know he's got ankle and feet problems, but that doesn't matter. See, the point is, the scripture is telling us flat out that God intervened through man as his tool. See, that's something else to think about, too. Peter and John, they're used to being used by God. They've casted out demons before, it says in the Gospels. They've healed sick before. They've seen it happen in front of them, so they're used to it. I apologize. My colors look way better on my laptop. So, Christ's miracles. I just want to let you guys understand this. There were 8 miracles in the Gospels that are related to controlling nature. 20 healings of individuals, and 3 raisings of the dead besides his own. Process that. In 3 years, documented, that is what, 28, 31 miracles that are documented in Scripture? That's pretty wild when you think about it, right? And what's wild even more is that as you continue in Scripture past Jesus, we see miracles continue on. So, congratulations, folks. You have now won a prize. You didn't know this. Actually, John isn't sick at all. He's fine. And really, all of you, your families have been contacted. You are now going on a trip for the next 6 months. This is not a game show. This is real. You've won this special trip, and it's okay. Chris is actually out of town on this trip as well as John, and we've kept it secret because we as Project Haven are giving you an all-expense-paid trip to go do missions work. All right, isn't that awesome? You guys excited about that? Isn't that cool? I know you guys are like wondering if I'm joking or not. No, I'm dead serious. This is how it's going to roll. Ready? I want everybody to take out their cell phone and their wallet, please, and hold it up in the air for me. Can you do that, please? You got your cell phone and wallet. Hold it up in the air. Come on, let's go, everybody. All right? All right, we good? All right, some people are like, I don't want my wallet up. That guy's a nonprofit. He wants my money. All right? Now, check this out. Could you imagine right now if I tell you put them under your seat and you're going to walk out this door and we're going to go drop you in some town somewhere in Pennsylvania, might have been somewhere you've already been, and you're going to go find some house to live at? Could you imagine if that's how you started your church life? That's what Jesus did. Right? All right, so let's think about it. Why did I say cell phone and wallet? Tell me, why do you think? Yeah, purse or walking stick, right? If you have your cell phone and your wallet, you could drop down anywhere in the state of Pennsylvania, and you could probably have a place to sleep instantly, right? But if I said no wallet, no cell phone, how many of you would kind of like freak out, right? Yeah. Some of the teenagers are like, oh, my goodness, I can't text. So here's what gets interesting, right? If you're doing miracles and you're Peter and John, you're used to living like this because you went out for about 6 months and just rolled out into some town. Because that's what he did with them. He sent them out two by two. This is how you were trained. You didn't spend time just knowing the Bible in three Sunday school type sessions a week. And on top of that, you had your Christian radio, and then the other book that you were reading, and then maybe your men's and women's Bible study. Then you had your small group at home, and then on top of that, you might also taught Sunday school class, and then you also had that lesson too. No. It was literally, you saw God move in your life, so you stepped up and you walked out. That's intense. See, I always struggle with these scriptures, and I struggle with the disciples in my life, because that is an intense ride. So why does God use miracles? Why do you guys think God used miracles? Why? Why does God use miracles? Anybody? No wrong answer. Just want to hear what you think. Gets people's attention. What else? Shows power for unbelievers. Shows love. Think about that. That is a physical manifestation. Miracles is our way of knowing that God exists. You see, if God doesn't do miracles, then what's the big deal? And see, the other thing is, God doesn't do miracles on our time, but on his time, that even becomes more powerful, because when our hearts are lining up with his, then our time becomes his time. Does that make sense when I say it? I'm going to say that again. When our hearts line up with God, our time becomes his time. So when his miracles happen, they work. So for instance, for me, let's back up, all right? Yesterday, I get a phone call from John. Now, let's back up even further. My wife says, take your son to a birthday party and stay there. All right? That is that whole husbands loving their wives, being a good father, all that stuff, right? My selfish side, if I wanted to disobey God, I could have been like, yeah, Rowan, peace out. Nolan's dad's there. You'll be cool. I'm going to go grab a coffee and enjoy a book, right? See, so by me following after God's heart, and doing the right thing with my son and hanging out there, all of a sudden John calls me at that place. I probably wouldn't have known Brent's grandparents who are sitting here this morning. You guys follow me here? See, so when my heart lines up after God, I get to see God move. I get to watch God do things, and I can attribute to him, and it's not just a coincidence. Because that's what we try to do sometimes. We try to throw that it's a coincidence. Now, I'm going to explain this graphic a little because it kind of came out really poorly with the color. So, again, I do apologize. But there's five different ways that we interact with God, and there's only one that's the right way, okay? So I'm going to explain the bad ways first. Over God. Over God means we stand there over God and say, God, do this. Because none of us ever do that, right? God, give me a job today, because I've been unemployed for 6 months, even though I never volunteered once anywhere in town or did anything for you in those 6 months, because all I was angry, upset, and depressed. Not that I ever did that before. But anyway, so over God, God, give my son or daughter a wonderful person to marry. They've been single, and they're 42 years old. Even though Paul says it's better to be single than married. Okay, you know what I mean? So, and ask my wife some mornings when I'm in the bathroom. So, when you look at this concept, right, this over God concept, it's us telling God what we think needs to happen. Then you have from God. From God's interesting, because everything's from God. Everything's from God. So, you have no credit whatsoever in a situation for who you are as a person. Everything is from God. That totally cancels out free will. It totally cancels your ability to make any decisions. And sometimes people actually go as far as to say that even my actions today were from God. Well, that means he's just a puppet master, and the whole world doesn't make sense because free will wouldn't exist. For God, Now, this gets really interesting. I lived a lot of my life in a for-God mood. Look, God, what I'm doing for you. God, look, I'm making tons of money, and I'm giving a little bit of it to you. God, look, I'm spending all my time with my buddies, and we talk about Jesus every now and then. And God, look, I'm always with Christians because you told us to be in fellowship, and I'm doing all this for you. But rarely does that person ever, ever, ever want to ask God, what do you want me to do with you? And finally, under God. And under God happens so much. I heard it just the other day. This woman was telling me this whole sob story about her life. And truthfully, it was her and her husband. And her husband made some really poor, unwise decisions. And she said, I don't know why God's doing this to us. I didn't have the heart to say it to the person. You made some really dumb choices. Do you know what I mean? But like, people, they make these bad choices and they say, God's doing something to me. Or God's over me. And there's oppression and there's pain. And there's like, oh no, God, what do I have to do to please you? When in reality, most of the time when we look at these types of things, if there is pain and strife in our world, if we're not dealing with it in a godly way, it's going to feel like we're under pressure. But the fact is that when we go through pain, when we go through troubles, we're supposed to rely on God and his people. Okay? So the way to roll with this is with God. And see, when you walk with God, it's a partnership. It's this communing. See, when God is Lord and Jesus is Lord over your life, you walk in this manner that you move. You go, and God is doing things around you and with you. So you're like, God, like, I'll be truthful. I didn't pray about preaching today. I didn't sit there and say, God, should I do this or not? No, because here's the reality of it. He says there's certain things you just do. Go love me and love people. I love you guys. This works. I was free. I didn't have to say, God, should I do this or not? Instead, I'm like, God, give me wisdom on how to do this because it seems like a no-brainer. Boom. And off we go. And then he affirms it, okay? So when we walk with God, and here's your little story where Finland was part of a miracle. It was about 3 weeks ago. And I am feeling horrible in life. It was a Friday. I work 4 part-time jobs right now because my plan was everybody's just going to give me money and I'm going to be full-time at Project Haven and everything will be great, right? Makes sense. That's why I told God should happen because I thought that's what he would want. And what's funny is God said, I'll do that for you for about 4 or 5 months, buddy, but then I got other places I want you to work and do things. And it was very interesting how it all unfolded. But essentially now I work 4 part-time jobs. I work a little bit at Eastern District Conference. I work a little bit at Perky Omenville Mennonite. I work a little bit at the Y, and then I work a lot at Project Haven. And I put all these together, and it's amazing how I get the love on a community as well as 2 different conferences. So now I'm tied to like 70-some churches. It's pretty wild like when you think about it, right? So this Friday, I was like, oh, whiny, and I'm like, God, I just feel like the grass is green on the other side, and I look at my friends, and they got 1 job, and they get to be at home every night at 5 o'clock, and they get to lay in their hot tub, and I got to go out and do this, I got to deal with this drug-addicted kid, and blah, 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 and I'm just feeling I'm at a pity party, so I put on Facebook, please pray. I'm looking at the grass green on the other side, but I do know that I'm doing some interesting and wonderful work with some very interesting and wonderful people. That day, I worked all 4 jobs for 2 hours each that day. I had amazing experiences with each. And then that night, I went to the building, and I opened up the mail, and there was a check from Finland Mennonite Church for 3 months' worth of my salary at Project Haven. Isn't that cool? Like, but think about it, though. If you're God, if he would have given me the check on Thursday, I probably wouldn't have been all whiny on Friday. But instead, I get it on Friday, on a day where he had already showed me that what I'm doing is cool. And then at night, he kind of just like drops down the hammer and says, yeah, and I approve this. You got that? And it's very intriguing when you let God roll like that and you walk with God. So the bottom line is this, folks. You are the story. If you go out tomorrow and tell the tales of what's happening in my life, you're missing the point of the miracle. There are miracles all the time in your own life, and you know them, and you're afraid to talk about them. Because if you talk about them, you're going to look like a nut job. Guess what? You already look like one. So it's okay. And see, what happens is sometimes we forget where God's brought us. So when we go through the pain, we start to use man's way to deal with it instead of God's ways. When the things get tough, we start to use man's way of dealing with it than God's ways. And see, what happens is we start to get hardened at God because we don't do what he says is best for us, and instead we do it our way, and then it pulls us farther and farther away so we can't be with him. So in closing, here's the deal, folks. Pray every day for you to see where God's at work. Look for the miracles around you on a daily basis, because he is active, he is moving, and he is there. And the problem is, if we want to change this world, we as believers have to be open in our lives authentically. So when someone asks you, what was your week like? You shouldn't just say, oh, it was good. You should be able to say why. You should be able to say where blessings were. You should be able to say interactions. And if you don't see blessings, then you need to take a break in life and breathe with God, because you are missing it. They always say stop and smell the roses. I always say stop and pray. Spend some time with a friend. Grab a cup of coffee. It's amazing what happens when you take a breather and you grab someone else in your world and just pray and have a moment. Let's close. God, we thank you so much for how awesome you are. Lord, we thank you how you just continue to move in our world. So, Lord, I ask that you continue to bless Finland in ways that they can never imagine. Lord, I ask that you continue to do miracles in their lives as you have been. And, Lord, let them see that clearer and let them not be blind to where you're at. We give all this to you in your awesome name. Amen.